Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody who knows this song, sing along.
Oh yeah, and anybody that knows this song, which most of you do, you're welcome to sing along. So if you all stand up.
Kate picks you up in the
blessings to you wherever you're at. I hope you're having some great weather and safe and in good health. Of course, tonight is May 14th. We're already halfway through May. June's popping up. Then July, the next thing we'll be heading back to the cold part again. Time really flies. But tonight I was going to touch base on a little bit Leonard Peltier, Rapid City racism, more American mass shootings, you know. I guess they shot up 20 people in some game someplace. I was trying to catch where that happened. But and then in the market up there in Buffalo, somebody walked in and just gunned down 10 black people, a bunch of people, but killed 10 of them. They suspect a hate crime, they said, you know. Some guy dressed up in black, you know, and body armor, you know, how they do when they want to imitate the SWAT team and all that, the great influences of life. The SWAT team, the Navy SEALs, you know, these mass murderers, they dress up like them and they go in and pretend they're Navy SEALs and SWAT team for time in their life, you know. I guess he was a white 18-year-old kid wearing military gear, and he is live streaming with a helmet camera on him. Anyway, there's that going on, plus a big shooting, I believe maybe it was Wisconsin or someplace. I could be wrong, but anyway, another big mass shooting shot up 20 people. The Americans love killing each other, shooting each other. A lot of racism. They think they're tough when they get a gun. You know, other countries don't allow it. Over here, they say, that's my right. You know, yeah. Yeah, it's your right, but... You know, just because you're stupid don't mean they should give you a gun, you know. Anyway, that's a whole nother issue. But I was looking at that. I was laughing because I was listening to public service radio and some lady was really complaining how her and her family, have been looking for the right church. They moved from another town. They had trouble, I guess, whatever, seeking the right church for the family. And they always have trouble, you know. And they settled in with the Orthodox church, you know. The Catholic church didn't work. Christian churches didn't work. All the churches, you know, they said they don't get along and all that, you know. Looks like they want to join a cult instead of a church, you know. I mean, if go join the Boy Scout team or something, you know. Find some other thing. Because these churches, that's all they are, is cults, you know. They executed Clarence Dixon, a Navajo there in Arizona, for killing a college student way back when, you know, maybe 40, 50 years ago, but they finally executed him. I guess his last words were he said he'll see her, maybe I'll see you on the other side. And he said he don't even know her, and I guess he claimed he is innocent, you know. And once again, they say they got him on DNA. You know, it's hard to to believe anything the government does. If they want to say you did something, they can whip up any DNA or anything and say, or get your DNA and say, yeah, we found this there. Nobody checks and see where the DNA came from. You know, all they know is their DNA. I'm not sticking up for no guy like him, you know, that did something, but if somebody's innocent, you know. And the other thing, he's an Indian. Why is the government so eager to punish our people? They should have no, you know, matter of fact, a white guy should never put his hands on any person of color, period. That's racism right there. That's a hate crime. When a cop stops you, he's eager to put his hands on you if he's a white guy. He's eager. You know, I know. I got experiences, you know. I've been through all their baloney at my age, you know. And there are people are still talking about boarding school deaths. You know, all the kids they found in boarding school. What I don't understand is we know they were like this all this time. We know they've been doing this. Just because you just found out, don't think you... Our people been knowing what they've been doing to our people, our kids. They've been knowing that. What can you do about it at this time? What can you do about it? You know, you're going to sit there and cry about something you can't fix. It's too late. They already did it. Oh, I know. You became so assimilated and Americanized, you demand an apology. You want them to apologize for what they did. And then you'll all feel better. You know, that apology makes any American feel better. Well, that apology ain't going to fix this. So why you even want an apology? My thing is when you actually find out how they really, really are, since we already knew this, since we knew they were throwing babies up and catching them on bayonets, you know, since you know they were killing boarding school kids, Catholics, and burying them for all these years, since you know that, why are you still flying the American flag? I see people that are complaining, putting this stuff up, really trying that. You know why they do it? Because it's a popular topic. It's a popular topic to bring up and point out. This many kids were dead. But then you look on, they've got American flags. They're talking about politics, their president, their government, their constitution. I mean, when you finally understand how the American treats people, why you still want to be an American? That's what trips me out about all of this. You know, why? Don't come crying about all this stuff if you're joining in with them, if you're in their cult. Why run around and cry about it? Why even talk like them? Why say family? Why use their slangs and everything? Why get involved in their baloney? You know? Yeah, of course, we got to live with them. We got to work with them. We got to go to school with them. We got to do everything with them. You know, we can't stop our kids from getting an education. It don't matter if they're in America, China, Russia, Korea, we're at. Kids still go to school and people still work. It doesn't make you an American because you work, and it doesn't make you an American because you're going to school. That's a whole different issue. You know, the issue that I'm talking about is why join join in on them. If you're an Indian, if you're a Native, Lakota, Apache, whatever tribe you are, why join in with them? You can go to work with them. You can communicate with them. You can even shake their hand if you want. You can be friends with them. But why get involved in their system of government when you know what they did to our people and our children? How good is it making you feel to put on Facebook, oh, here, they killed 10,000 kids. Does that make you feel good? Does it make you feel good? Yeah, it reminds that they did this, but we already been on that. And they killed more than 10,000 kids. Let's try 10 million kids, 20 million kids. They've been killing kids since they came over, since the Spaniards came, since the Pilgrims came, since all of them came. They've been killing kids for the last 300-400 years. They've been doing it. There's more than you can add up. So what do you want? What's the point you're trying to get at? Like I said, most of you want an apology. I want them to apologize for what they did. You know, no apologies going to solve that or make anything better. Don't take nothing from them. You know, the best thing you can do is quit joining in with them. Quit running around with your American flag on your front porch, in your car. Quit calling Joe Biden, our president. Quit calling them, calling the government your government. Quit calling the Constitution your rights. You ain't got nothing, you know. And I was tripping out. They got a big boxing match going on, you know, and these black guys fighting. And they're, you know, black people are going to get mad at me for this, but I'm just telling the truth, you know. One fighter's fighting a guy from Argentina. And the black guys, we're Americans, we're U.S., rah, rah, rah. And they're going up there wearing an American flag. They ain't Americans, they're Africans. That's what Indians do. They forget who they are and they become Americans. I don't care what you do. Wrap a flag around you, do anything you want, but underneath that flag, you're still African. You're still Indian, still Chinese. You're still whatever. That flag ain't going to turn you into a white man that quick, you know. It makes you stupid, you know. And they, you know, just because you got rich all of a sudden, now you're American, you know. How about when you was running around being a poor person in the ghetto? But you see, no matter what you do, you ain't going to fix your color. And your color is who you are and where you came from. If you're black, you came from Africa. That's all there is to it. You know, if you're white, you came from Europe. You know, if you're Asian, you came from Asia. That's all there is to it. You know, accept these facts. Learn how to accept the facts of what your bloodline is and be proud of that. How, if you're Irish, be proud of it. If you're a Asian from China or Korea, be proud of it. Don't stand there all Asian looking and say you're American. You know, don't be all black and say you're American. Don't be all Indian and say you're and say you're, hey, excuse me. I have all kinds of stuff going on around me. But you see, what gets me is people think that because they live over here, they suddenly got a color change, or what people want them to believe, they call it a melting pot. It ain't no melting pot, because I seen a bunch of cops pull over a bus that's on YouTube. They pull over a bus. These were white cops attacking black college students, accusing, you know, shaking their bus down for drugs, hassling the bus driver. The cops, they're talking to the bus driver real nice in his car. And then as soon as the bus driver gets out and goes over there, then the cop gets on his radio and says, yeah, he's talking a lot. He's this, and they're a bunch of black girls, and I think they got weed on the bus. He's telling it like it is, you know. That's how they are. They probably smoke weed too, these cops. But if you're a black person and smoking weed, they can come harass you, you know. It's a really messed up situation. How they are. They're American Gestapo Nazi. You know? That's what you live in out there. You know? I got pulled over right here coming off the res one night. Or no, I was coming back to the res. And a white cop pulled me over. And figured I was hauling alcohol into the res. And I was drunk and all that. And I wasn't. So he told me, he said, you tell your people don't come over here drunk because we're going to catch them. I'm not going to go tell my people nothing. I'm going home. You know what I mean? I'm going home. But that's the races right here. Go 7 miles north of where I'm at, or 9 miles north of this town, or say, 20 miles from Rosebud south, and you're in Nebraska, and man, that's racist right there. I don't need to get into all the details about it, because I got many stories to talk about that. I'll be here all night long talking about their racism. So the point that I'm saying is, talking about boarding school deaths, you know, I see the people talking about boarding schools are just American Indians, you know, most of them, you know, really putting on a show about it, but they don't even know what they're talking about. You know, we've been knowing about this stuff, and we've been, for years, we know what the Catholics did. We've been knowing this. When I was young, this was Catholic City. You know, this was Catholic City here. When you walk, go into town, there was nuns walking up and down the street. People they call brothers, you know, guys that are training to be priests. You know, they were all up and down the town, and we used to have to hide from them because they could stop you and whip your butt right out in the street and you couldn't do nothing about it. They could abuse your kids right out in the street and nothing you could do about it. That was the right to whip the kids when they thought they were being bad. I remember that, you know. And fortunately, our people, you know, eventually that wore out. American Indian Movement showed up and all these things, and they started, Catholics started losing their steam. And I remember a couple of them brothers got their butts ganged, you know, and then they started feeling they were in danger. And then finally the Indian women and all them said they didn't want the Catholics teaching their kids, and one thing led to another, and So the Catholics piled it and they left. So when they were here, yeah, they had some opportunities, you know. There was a skating ring inside the Catholic school. They had a swimming pool over here, you know. That skating ring was inside the gym, and every Saturday night they had movies there, you know. And you could go there and buy popcorn and watch movies. A lot of pretty good little things, you know. But when they finally left, they piled it, they covered up the swimming pool, they shut everything down, tore down half them buildings. They're still here. But they don't run the school no more. All they have is a church, and they have a treatment center, and, you know, they even gave up the radio station. So, but the Catholics were cold-blooded people. They were responsible for killing a lot of kids, making them disappear, you know. Make it look, you know, here's a parent. They kill your kid in January, and in May or June, when the kid's supposed to come back from school, the kid don't show up, so they go looking, where's our kid at? Oh, we don't know. Well, we thought he went home, you know. And who's going to question the Catholics back in them days, you know? So they did a lot of stuff. But even after they did all that stuff, every Sunday you go in that Catholic church, there's rows and rows of Indians sitting there on their knees praying, you know? So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You know, you guys tell me about that. You know, we could talk about a lot of this stuff. There's more things going on, you know, just like this American violence, you know. I guess there's a football game and 20 people got shot there in Milwaukee, you know, or something like that. I didn't catch the whole details. And then some young 18-year-old kid went into the market in Buffalo, New York, just gunned down a bunch of people, killed 10 of them. So why is an 18-year-old kid doing this, you know, wearing military gear? He has live streaming with the helmet camera, open fire with a rifle, you know. Why is an 18-year-old kid doing this? Because not 15 or 20 years earlier, some racist guy gave birth to that 18-year-old. And all his life he's hating people, you know, blacks, I guess. You know, it's like that. You know, I said something about Russia on a post, a Facebook post about the boxing and all of that. And, right away, I got some negativity. Some guy attacked me and said, why do you believe the Russian propaganda? See, oh, I remember what it was. This boxer last week, a Russian boxer, beat up Canelo Alvarez. His name was Dmitry Bivol. He beat up a really popular Mexican fighter. You know, this Mexican fighter, everybody said he's going to win. He put on a big performance, ring walk. They elevated him up and played Maria, you know, put on a big show, and there he got his butt kicked, you know, after all that. So people got mad because the Ukrainian people are griping, why you letting Russians fight in America? What does that got to do with the sport? But you see, people are running to support Ukrainians, but if you look at it, those guys are racist, those Ukrainians. I was over there. you know. They're racist. And they're crybabies. Look at Klitschko brothers. They were heavyweight boxing champions. Both of them didn't like it when some black guys beat their butt, you know, and took their titles from them. They didn't like it. You see, and right now they were the biggest ones crying about this Bivol fighting here in this country. Anyway, long story short, Bivol won the fight. He only got $2 million. The Mexican got almost $50 million. And then the government ain't going to pay him the $2 million because they said Russia got sanctioned. You know? So I made a comment about that. And right away, I got attacked. Why are you sticking up for them Russians? Why are you believing? Oh, the other one was about that Grimes or whatever her name was, that one that got busted for drugs, hauling hash oil into Russia. I said, you know, they were all saying they honored this girl. Even though she's a drug smuggler. If you smuggle drugs, you're a drug smuggler. I don't care what country you do it. But in their stupid brain, in the American brain, if the Russians catch you, then they pity you. Oh, poor girl. They probably planted it on her. And then they're saying she got busted leaving. She got busted going in. She left New York and went in there. She got busted going into Russia. And if you look at the video, she loads her, you know, when you come into any country, you got to go through customs first and you get off the plane. Walk over, and then they got all this scanners and lines. You wait, you go in different lines, and they go through and check your stuff. I've been there at Russian customs, right there in Moscow, where she went. You go in there, and you put your stuff on the scanner, and it goes through the scanner. And if they see something that don't look right in there, they're gonna want to open it up. That's what they did to her. They opened it up, and they found hash oil. She was right there when they opened it. I mean, even Ray Charles could see she got busted. But Americans, they're saying, oh, they probably planted it on her. You can't trust them. Any other time, they don't like a black person. And then she's gay, too. She's married to another woman. Now, big deal, okay? They made us used to all this stuff. But the point is, Russia is like back in the day. Think about it. Here in this country, there's still old white guys and old people that don't like gays. You all know that. Well, Russia's back in time, too. So they still are against gays over there. They're breaking through it because they're forced to. You know, Putin and all them, they don't like it, but yeah, we protect gays, you know. But to tell you the truth, they don't like it. And the other thing I'll tell you about Russia, that's not a big old drug country like propaganda tells you, you know. A lot of Russians don't even know what pot smells like, let alone hash. So, I mean, if they had drugs, if Russia had its own drugs there, why is she smuggling hash into Russia? Because they don't have it. She wants to show off she's a cool American and she's bringing in some hash to them. She's going to corrupt them, those people, and bring drugs from America in there. And I said this to, you know, them Russians 10 years ago. I said, you know, you start accepting Americans in there, they're going to come in and corrupt this whole country. They're going to come in. And I said, see these playgrounds where kids play and all this stuff? I said, where women sit around and visit? I said, when you start bringing Americans in, they're going to have gangs hanging out in these little parks. And they're going to be getting high out there. Next thing, they're going to have gang fights here. Your kids ain't going to be safe. and there's going to be a lot of stuff going on. I said, right now, I see you guys are still pure from a lot of things, you know? And that's what it is. So this girl, she's smuggling drugs in there. So I said, they're pitying her. And I just said, she's just a smuggler. Why do you believe the Russians for? Why are you, you know, this guy's attacking me, you know? I could believe who I want, can I? Huh? Can I? Can't I believe who I want? Hey, hey, Layla, can't I believe what I want?
Absolutely.
You know? Can't I? If I want to believe what the Russians say, can I believe them if I want? Can I believe what anybody else says? You know? What I don't need to do is get on there and argue about them and say, well, I was over there. I know all that stuff that's going on before you guys ever figured it out, you know? You know, but can I sit? Well, so what I did, this guy talking, I went and got in his Facebook page and did a little research, you know? And I look in his page. He's a white guy, you know, wearing his ball cap backwards, got a beard, and then he's got his kids. He looks like a good family man playing with his kids. You know what I mean? Playing with his kids and, you know, a good family-looking guy. But yet, what's wrong with him? He's a hater. You don't know nothing about Russia, but he's hating. And no telling who else this guy's hating. So I told him, I said, you know, I looked you up. You got good kids. You're probably training on the BS. Hateful and wicked as you are. You know, that was my comments to him. Then a little while later, I blocked him, you know. I gave him a chance to jump back and then I blocked him. But you see, this guy looks like a good family man. But if he's got that kind of attitude for other countries, other people, then he's a hater. He's training his kids to hate. And that's why this white kid went over there and gunned down all these black people at a supermarket in Buffalo. You know? That's why he did it. He went there dressed up like SWAT team and did this. That's why this is going on. That's why all them cops stopped that bus, a tour bus, hauling lacrosse players with a bunch of square black girls on there. You know, you can see they're square. They ain't using drugs or nothing, you know. And the cops are over there. They even opened up, dug in their bags. One of them was given a gift, and the gift was wrapped in a box. And they told her don't open it up till she got home, so she didn't open it while the cops opened it. The cops told her, we're going to look in here. We're going to see what you got in here. You know, you see, that's because those cops were raised by racist, evil people. That when you automatically see a person of color, then they must be having weed or up to no good. Now, a lot of black people are bringing it up on themselves when they're out there shooting guns and like now. It's mostly black people's gunning down Asians. I can't believe why they doing that, you know. Gunning down Asians, you know, Asian haters. You know, why are people, I know there was a Mexican did that in one of the places, and there's people of color beating up Asians. They think it's funny. They think they get a feather for it or something. But why? Why Asians? You know, just because they're blaming them for coronavirus, that's another hate. You know, when the coronavirus started, everybody got the word it started in China. Well, China says the Americans took it over there. There's another story about that.
Yep.
So I'm not going to believe the Americans or nothing. Then they said they were tested bats or something to do with bats. And even Indians were saying this. They're saying, and they're serving bat soup over there. So, you know, they know how to throw smut and propaganda. just like you watched the news about that Russian-Ukrainian war, they're talking about how bad, how stupid the Russians are and all this. Well, maybe they are. I don't know. But are we to believe those Ukrainians? If any of you ever went over to Ukraine, I'm talking about person of color. If you're white, you're going to get along fine over there. You know, you're going to do good over there. But if you're an Indian or person of color, they even said it. Those Red Cross workers went into Ukraine to help them out. Those Ukrainians started calling them niggers and said they didn't want them over there. You know, that's how they are. But the other side over here, it's they're all pure and white. They're little innocent people that somebody's picking on. Well, if you knew the story and knew why what's going on, you will know that those Ukrainians chased a bunch of Russians into a building in Odessa. When they chased them in, there were about 20 of them or more, because they were, after that, in 2014 or 13, they started attacking Russians all over Ukraine, you know, raping them, robbing them, and everything. They got an open license to go kill Russians. So one example, they chased these Russians into a building. They locked them. They hammered the door shut. And they throw gas bombs into the windows and burn these Russians alive. You know, there's a lot of stuff people don't know about. And when they did all that, them ones that live in Crimea, or that one, they were scared that they were going to come over and start killing Russians there. That's why Putin and them went over there and defended them and took over Crimea. Now they're doing the same. There's just another thing. Here I am. I'm talking like this, and there's people probably tuning in and saying, this guy's an enemy. He's rah, 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 the government, FBI. This guy, you know, they're going to talk bad about me, probably poison me and kill me or whatever, you know.
No.
Try. But, you know, that's how they are, you know. So, don't get involved in that stuff. If you don't know nothing, stay the hell out of it. But right away, Americans, I see McConnell walking around over there in Ukraine. Biden's wife went over there. They all want to show up over there. Because remember, Biden and them had a part of that Ukrainian gas line. His son, Hunter, was on the board of that gas thing there. He was a millionaire over that. You know, Biden has a big interest in Ukraine. The Americans have a big interest in the Ukraine. They stored all kinds of nuclear waste there. They paid the Ukrainians to store nuclear waste there. Plus, Ukrainian has its own minerals. And the main thing is it's right next to Russia. Good place to plant more missiles and so that's why the Americans, you know, they want to surround. So there's a whole thing that's going on. And the Americans are making it look like Russia's just attacking some innocent people. Well, there's a lot of innocent people there that are suffering. And people need to realize half of Ukraine is made up of Russians, especially the eastern side. That's Donbass area. That's where Russia's trying to take control of that right now to save those Russians over there. You know, I don't want to get into all this, but I'm just telling listeners, you know, people that listen, there's more to the story. And there's people suffering. The more the Americans go over there and arm them Ukrainians and give them those fancy weapons to shoot down planes and kill tanks and kill Russians, the more the Russians have to fight. It's just like over just like in Iraq, when Al-Qaeda and all of them started shooting out of them apartment buildings, what did Americans do? They just bombed the whole apartment building. They didn't care if there was people in there or not. Mm-hmm. They said, well, they was bombing hospitals while terrorists are shooting rockets out of them hospitals. The Israelis are doing that. Saying the Palestinians are shooting out of the hospital, so they bombed the hospital.
Wow.
You know? There's a lot of stuff in war. And the Americans are feeling the fire over there. So is the Europeans and Germans and Britons, you know, arming and making it worse. They're causing all the stuff to be worse. Anyway, you know, that's between two people that speak the same language, that whole thing. People speak the same language. It's like Lakota and Dakota, just different dialect. But one side of the Russian speakers became corrupted and contaminated with American ideology, American coming in there, getting them drunk, getting them high, and getting them to turn against their government. That was one of the main things they did. Because you go to Ukraine, to Kyiv, you go to different over there, you see these, most of them rioters in 2014 when they were rioting, busting up Kyiv like they did in LA riots, those rioters were all dope heads, alcoholics. They had, and they were trying to be punk rockers, having Mohicans, turquoise hair, earrings all over, tattoos, you know. It was their opportunity to break into places and get free drinks, rob, kill, rape. That's what they did. And I don't need to tell you who started that, because there's videos of everything about this stuff. So anyway, this been going on over there. So one side of the Russian speakers, the Ukrainians, they hate. They started hating the Russians because the Russians are trying to keep it like they have over there, you know, no drugs, you know. Sure, you see all the movies about Russian mafia, all the propaganda, all the heroin and all that. But if you go to Russia and start looking for some dope, you're going to have trouble finding it. You know, I'm serious. If you smoke pot, you're going to have to go look around and find who's a pothead, see who's got sleepy looking eyes and stuff, you know. I'm serious, you know. It ain't like what you think. You come over here, you can find pot anywhere. Over there, you know, there's people don't even know what pot smells like. You know, there's people that you know, hash and all that. They drink vodka and stuff like that. Yeah, there's people that smoke pot and all that. You go to the cities, Moscow, St. Petersburg, and all that. And this girl or whatever you want to call her, she was hauling hash oil in there. Now, that ain't a bad drug. But there's some countries, if you get caught hauling this stuff in there, you're in trouble.
Yep.
In this country, if you get caught hauling some drugs through that metal detector, you're up shit creek. They're going to lock you up. It's a federal crime, you know. But because she was going into Russia, everybody's pitting her. It made her honors and all that. So I said that, and I got attacked for it. Just like if the people who hear me talking here would attack me, you know. But people don't know. This country, America, right now, the American truckers dying out. Americans don't want to do nothing no more. They don't want to work in the fields. They don't want to go out in the sun and work. They don't want to work in construction. They don't want to do nothing. So who's doing it? It's people of color. And the trucking industry is full of Russians, let me tell you.
Wow.
And full of Oriental people. Yeah. Full of Arabs. A lot of these trucking companies are owned by Arabs. I'm talking about big trucking companies. And you go on the road. When I was on the road, I ran across so many Russians on the road. And they didn't like it over here because of all the cops stipulations and stuff. Because in Russia, those truck drivers are funny, you know. They travel. They don't have big weigh stations. They'll pull them in and walk around, blah, blah, blah. Sometimes at the rest area, the cops will even go out and drink vodka with truckers, you know. And then when a trucker gets a flat tire in Russia, you know what? He has to get out with a jack his own truck up, take his tire off, and repair it himself. And over here, you call up, just park your truck, call up, they come repair it, and you just pay them $500-$600 and go on your way. So these Russians, you know, they're like, I ain't lying. I seen a Russian parked at a rest area in Russia, and he had his whole motor sitting out there, and he was rebuilding it there in the rest area, you know. You know, and days later went through there, it's gone. He must have got it on the road, you know. Americans don't do that. This company I worked for, the guy was stingy, so we were in Amarillo, Texas, and one of his trucks, the tranny went down, so he parked there. My boss and his son hauled the transmission down there to the truck stop, went on and got on and changed the transmission for him to save money. So there's still some people like that over here, but the majority of it's not like that. And the trucking industry is filled with foreigners right now. Foreigners, lots of them. So, and like John Davis, give a shout out to John Davis. He's on the chat. He says $6 a gallon for fuel. That's the truth. These trucks, you know, if it's $6 for a gallon and you're going up a mountain, like say in California, they got a long stretch, 20-mile stretch of a climb up that mountain. These trucks are using a gallon a mile going up this mountain with the load. So 6 times 20, how much is that? 120, right? So that guy is paying $120 to get to the top of that mountain. Can you imagine that? And because, you know, when you're driving these trucks, they got a meter in them, especially Caterpillar diesels. And the meter tells how much fuel you're using. You can watch it when you're shifting gears. You start at a mile a gallon, then 3 miles a gallon. And then when you're loaded, you might be up to 7-8 miles a gallon, you know. And some of these trucks, Volvos and that, you might get 9 and 10 miles a gallon with the load, you know. But, you know, that ain't, you're paying $6 a gallon, you know. So you're getting 10 miles for every $6 you spend. So you drive 1,000 miles, you're spending more than that. Yeah, $600 for 1,000 miles. I know one time I filled up up there in New York. This was when I was trying to own a truck back in the day. And I spent $1,300 to fill up my truck That's when I knew I was going out the trucking business, and I did.
Man.
You know, shortly after that, I was back to driving for somebody else. No more of that trying to own a truck, you know. No more of that stuff, you know. Let someone else pay for that, you know. But that's how it is. And so the American truck driver is giving up. So these Russians, these Arabs and all these foreigners, you know, they're to them, they're still making money because they're used to not making money in Russia and in the Mideast and China. You know, they're used to not making money anyway, you know. They might make $200 or $100-something a week driving truck over there. And over here, they're making $400-$500 a week driving truck. They don't care. That's a lot of money for them. But these Americans, they want to make $1,500 a week, you know. Anyway, Philip, your line's been open too. So... So, you know, that's how it is. And Bimber and them, they're all in ceremony, you know. I was supposed to go tonight, too, and it wasn't lined up right, and I didn't go, so I feel kind of bad. Anyway, I want to give Ben Nava and them a shout-out for coming to get me, and, you know, I was, you know. But anyway, here I am doing the show. And there are ceremony sweats and things going on right now. And, you know, so Vimber and them this is the time of the season for all this stuff. Because Sundance getting ready. We're going to start having people on Humblecha up there praying on the hills and all this stuff going on. So,
oh, nice.
You know. Yeah, you know, it's the time of the year, so all the Indians, the Lakotas are getting ready. And, you know, I kind of proud of that myself. When you think about what I started talking about at the beginning of the show about a lot of Indians being Americans and all this, you know. I used to haul strawberries. John Davis, you know, he said most of our produce comes from California. I used to haul strawberries to New York City. And my truck got $2,800 for hauling these strawberries to New York City. But it's like bell peppers. When you're hauling this kind of stuff, you better not take too long in naps because this stuff don't last long. And strawberries, they get mashed up and stuff, you know, and bell peppers will turn red and yellow if you're on the road too long, you know. You have to be on your job, you know. And so some of this produce that paid a, you know, pretty good money, but look at it. This is back in the day, $2,800, and it probably cost it back then, probably cost $400 for the fuel to go take them over there back in the day. And then pay my little cheap ass $50, you know, for going over there, you know. So they could afford it back in the day. But now, you know, they're paying big money to, people are paying big money for strawberries, avocados, bananas, and everything to hit the East Coast from California. And then when you get over there, you have to have loads coming back. Here I am talking the trucking industry. Well, I sure can switch around, can I? You know? But, the price of fuel, like over here, it's $4.09. But my brother and them are paying $5-something a gallon over there in California. you know? How much you paying in Florida, Layla?
I don't pay any attention to that, Wombly.
Oh, yeah, you just a hitchhiker.
I'm in my own world, man.
Yeah. How about you, Philip? How much you paying over there? Or maybe you sleep already.
It's 4.29, I think, at the gas station that I went to today.
That's just a little bit more than me, you know. I mean, Can you imagine? I put $70 in my pickup because I have no choice because I have to go get some firewood, and you know, we're using it like a little workhorse because, man, even though if the weather's warm, it still gets nippy. So you need to break the chill in the morning and in the night, you know. So it's still kind of, you know, my furnace is kaput, you know, so I just use wood. But I still need to have gas in that pickup. And, man, I never dreamed of paying $70 to fill up. I mean, I didn't even fill it up, you know.
That's a lot of
money. Fill up the truck. It just put gas in it, you know. I remember back in the day, you'd pull up, how much? Throw $5 in. You really think you're helping out? You give your buddy $5. Yeah, here's $5. Put $5 in. You know, those days are gone. Putting $5 in. You know, for $5, you're getting a gallon and a 16th. You know, or maybe a gallon.
Those days disappeared, after 9/11.
Oh yeah.
It's you know, this is what kills me. You know, it was below or close to $1 a gallon at that point.
Really?
At least here it was. Here in Ohio and Cleveland, that's how much it was. And now that we're out of this threat of terrorist attacks, the price never went down. It never went back down. So it was just an excuse for these oil companies to continue to charge an extreme amount of money.
Corporate greed.
I'm laughing because Maria put a you know, on the chat. She put, it cost me $20 to put 5 gallons in the caddy. In the caddy.
Caddy.
Yeah. Make it sound like people are doing damn good over here driving caddies. You know? You need a caddy to drive over here because it's an old caddy, and those old caddies, you can hit a bull and still
and
drive off.
You know? Miles,
yeah.
How
much?
It's Fred's caddy. Over 200,000 miles.
Yeah.
I think 210,000 miles now. But it's Fred's caddy, and we are satisfied with it.
Yeah, well, it's one of those big ones too, man. Like I said, if you hit a bull in that one, you're going to still drive home. You know? Oh, don't tell her what you can hit out here in Indian country, man. My little car, it's a Nissan, a Sentry. It's like a tuna fish can. If you lean on it, you put a dent on it, you know? I don't even like driving it, you know? But to go long ways, I need that little car because it's good on gas, you know? I put $30 in that. That's like half the price of what I put in a pickup, but I can go all the way to Pier and Rapid or Valentine or wherever, you know? Not that I go to Pier and Rapid. I stay away from them places. But you see... And propane costs a lot of money.
Rapid, can I say something about Rapid?
Yeah.
A Okay, remember when you came to pick me up to take me out to the Ogallala commemoration? I was waiting for you in this hotel. Do you remember what was it's hard for me to even say it. Do you remember what was on the wall in the lobby of that hotel? Do you remember?
No.
The head of a buffalo wombly.
Oh, yeah.
That was one of the worst things I ever saw in my life.
Yeah. You know, and then in those rooms they say, no cleaning. Pheasants and fish in the rooms. You know,
no rednecks allowed.
Yeah. No cleaning pheasant and fish in the rooms, you know, it's funny. You know, because they come hunting pheasant and people fishing and, you know, they're making the rooms smell like fish, you know. And got feathers all over the place, you know. So they, you know. Anyway, Rapid City is the Mississippi of the North, you know, and it's racist. But you know what gets me is, you know, what gets me is every year, like Lakota Nation Invitational, like Al and I, the big basketball games. I don't know why these Indians do it up in Rapid City. When you go up there, they jack the prices up. You're spending $150, $200 a room. Indians go up there and spend that money. Then they're up there in Golden Corral just to watch these games. Remember we did a concert up there during this basketball deal, or was that Black Hills Powwow? Something we did up there. Remember?
There was Gymnasium, I think, and it was for Defenders of the Black Hills. It wasn't it Mother Butler Center
or
something.
Yeah, we did it up there, Mother Butler Center, but with Jackie Bird and Skyler Wolf and all that. But this event was happening at that time, and there were thousands
and
thousands of Indians.
Oh, and that's why not very many people came. Yeah, now I remember.
There are thousands and thousands of people, Indians, going to the basketball game.
Instead of coming to
the help. Maybe it was a powwow. No, you know, I mean, powwow automatically ranks on a rock and roll concert, Indians.
Well, let me say something about that. You know, Charmaine had a booth and everything there. And so she told me, go out and watch the dancing. I, you know, I want to hang out with her. No, go look at the dancing. So I'm sitting out there and I'm watching this stuff. I've never been to a powwow like that before. All of a sudden, I see these Indian men marching along, and they've got vet uniforms, and they're falling behind this American flag. And I just instantly, I thought, what is the matter with this picture?
Yep, that's exactly what I'm saying. So getting back to what I was talking about earlier, you know, boarding school deaths. You know, they're finding all these children's deaths, but you still got Indians marching around with that American flag. You still got Indians supporting the Americans. You still got Indians involved with them, you know. So how can you solve that problem? You can't solve it anyway, you know, but at least if nobody's supporting them Americans, you know, that's letting them know you don't want nothing to do with them. You know,
yep.
Quit joining in with them. You know,
yep.
You still can work with them. You can still do stuff, but damn, you don't have to go walk with them with a flag. You don't have to go over and start imitating them. Joining everything they do, even those Indian bikers, man. The minute they get a Harley, right away they start trying to dress like a biker, you know. And I look at these bikers that show up over here, man, they're all old guys, 50, 60 years old. All of them, mostly grandpas and stuff, you know.
Yep.
And
not
these
the
Indians, these Indians, you know, want to join. And then the BIA and this one with the good jobs, they're buying these big food dressers and stuff, you know. A normal Indian, I couldn't afford these fancy bikes. Now, and I remember my main bike, I had to kickstart it, you know, and you had to get the combination just right to start it. And if you didn't, that sucker would bend your knee backwards and flip you over the bike, you know. But those are the kind of bikes I had, you know. I had to rebuild them, you know. I remember we had a knucklehead, but with a shovel head on it, you know.
Nice.
Didn't have a knucklehead, but the bottom was a knucklehead, you know, the shovel head top, because didn't know they fit, but they fit, you know. You know, but getting back to that other stuff, you know, we are not going to be able to solve nothing. If you're going to gripe and bitch about something, you know, make sure you're not in with them and doing the bitching. You know, a lot of the people doing the bitching, I look on Facebook, bitching about all these deaths, these children's death, but yet they got American flags, veterans, you know, all this stuff. All this stuff. That's defeating the purpose. And getting an apology from them ain't going to work. But just to go halfway, let me go halfway here. Okay. All those motels in Rapid City, they're on so-called treaty land, you know. To me, I don't call it treaty land. It's still our land, even without a treaty. Well, all the motels all over there should give Indians 50% cutoff. At least that's meeting them halfway, you know.
Yeah.
We should be getting a discount. Just go up there and, you know, you're Indian, pay only half the price. Then at least that's kind of feeling some kind of satisfaction, you know. You know, if they give you some respect, but they don't do that. You go up there during Biker Week, the beginning of Biker Week in August. Now, them motel rooms, if you can find one, they're $200 a night, the cheap ones, Motel 8 and those Motel 6. And if you can find one, I remember they had a bunch of fire. They had a bunch of fires 10 years ago or something, and I hauled a trailer house. And because of the fires, I couldn't deliver the trailer house. So I was stuck. I couldn't haul that trailer house, so I just went to the truck stop and then went to go try to get motel rooms. There was no motel rooms. I was screwed. But, I got a truck to sleep in. But you see, why do Indians put up with all this? We do the Black Hills Powwow up there. We do Al and I is like the Olympics of the Indians, basketballs. That's where all the tribes show up in Rapid City to compete with each other in basketball, the girls' basketball, the men's basketball. I always say, how come they don't do it on the Indian reservations? Like one year, do it in Pine Ridge. Next year, do it in Rosebud. Next year, do it in Standing Rock. Next year, do it down in Navajo land. Next, you know, like the Olympics, you know. Next year, you know, spread the wealth. But no, they go to Rapid City. They do it in Rapid City because the guy's doing it once a veteran. You know? His name's Brian Brewer. And if you hear him talk when he was president of the tribe, the first thing he says is, I'm Brian Brewer, a Vietnam veteran, combat veteran. I had this many kills, this many, you know. He brags first thing. And then after that, he goes on. He wants everybody to know he is a Vietnam veteran. you know? What kind of message?
They have this warrior mentality. They want to be seen as a warrior. Well, you know, fighting with them guys or for them guys is not being a warrior in my eyes. I don't know.
You're being a traitor.
Read my mind.
Because they murdered Indian people, and they're still murdering people under that flag. You know, the Indians went over there to Iraq and helped them kill 200,000 Iraqis, 200,000 Afghanistan, and there was Indians doing it. Some of these Indians are on Facebook just bragging about it. You know, they helped the Americans kill all them Iraqis and all that, you know, even raping women and stuff, you know. What's that guy's name, Robert Bales or something like that? He went in, snuck in, murdered a bunch of Afghanistans and went back to base, drank some more, then snuck back in and killed some more.
Gross.
You know? Yeah. Killed a bunch of them while they were sleeping.
Oh, man.
And then he got caught. So what did the Americans do? They didn't want the Afghans trying him in their court. So they brought him back to America. Now he's serving time in Washington, close to his family. And just like Lieutenant Kelly, they let Lieutenant Kelly out. You know, Jimmy Carter and them were all mad because they locked up Lieutenant Kelly. You see, everybody talks about how great these presidents are, Jimmy Carter, Kennedy, Obama. You know, they're all wicked. There ain't one president they're ever going to put there that's not wicked. Because as long as you're under that government, you're going to be wicked. You know, wicked as they come, like the Americans. They went and stopped the Iranian oil vessel and robbed the whole oil vessel. They excuse us. Oh, they're taking it to Venezuela. So we confiscated it. That's robbery. That's high seas robbery. When they pull you over and they confiscate your money, like some guy flew into some town, I forget where. He flew in and he had $32,000 cash because he's a black guy. And was he a black guy? Yeah, I think he's a black guy. And he was going to purchase a truck. He started a trucking company. So he went down there to pay cash to purchase this truck. And they took his $32,000. The government will confiscate your money. They will steal from you. I mean, and you support people like that? You support thieves? You support genocide?
Well, let me change the subject a little bit. What did that lady Deb do, that senator or whatever she is, that Indian in Congress, what did she do recently?
Oh, I seen her barking about, you know, the deaths in the boarding schools and having an investigation on it. But what good is that? Anybody can do that. Why waste money on that? We already know what they did.
Yeah, they want to waste money. She's going to waste the taxpayers' dollars by traveling around from reservation to reservation. She wants to hear people's stories of their experience in the boarding schools. Why do you need that? You already know. It's pointless. It's just her to go on her little junket for photo ops. She's worthless.
Yeah, and looks like she's supporting the Indian, you know. She's not doing nothing, you know.
Where was she when the governor of New York was screwing the Seneca over, and now the Buffalo Bills are going to get a new stadium because they freaking went and screwed the Seneca over and stole money that the state of New York doesn't deserve. They have no right to it.
You know,
it's It's ridiculous.
Think about it. You know, as long as you're in that cult, you're going to serve no purpose to the native people. But our people are so brainwashed, we say, oh, look, we got an Indian up there. She's going to help us. Or some Indians are still saying, Obama was the greatest president. Well, let me get back to how I started this radio show tonight, okay? I started this show tonight talking about Leonard Peltier. And Leonard Peltier, you know, is still sitting in there. And look how old he is right now. Look how old he is right now. How old is he? 78 years old.
Yeah, is he? Yeah.
78 years old. How much?
Shirt, honey.
How much longer is he gonna live?
Right.
He's got all kinds of complications. Might even have cancer. You know, he's got all kinds of complications. Now they're saying Biden might cut him loose. Might. Well, how long does it take to get on a pin or make a phone call if they cut that dude loose right now?
Yep.
You know, that stuff ain't getting it. So that's why I said right now at this time. Right now at this time. Here's what I'm saying. Right now at this time, you can't do nothing for Leonard. They're not going to let him go. And I hope he has enough friends, because I'm sure he has enough people showing up and you know, giving him money to have his Zuzus and Wham Whams while he's there, you know. That's candies, of course, in prison talk.
Oh.
Zuzus and Wham Whams, you know, sweets and stuff. And, you know, have a nice, go to the prison store, you know. So I'm sure he's comfortable in that way. The other thing is people have to know it isn't good to always be promising him he's going to get out. Obama's going to let you out. And then you go sit there waiting. Obama don't do it. You know?
Yeah, Clinton.
Don't be doing that to the poor guy. You know?
Yeah.
Don't be telling him all this stuff. You know, because when you're in prison, your mind adapts to prison. I mean, the human mind is a powerful thing. So Leonard has adapted to it, you know. Like right now, he's in bed right now, you know.
Yeah.
And he's going to wake up in the morning. I don't know if he still drinks coffee, but he's going to, you know, cook him up coffee in the room, heat it up, you know, with a stinger, and then go to the mess hall and eat. And his life is for today, unless he's on lockdown again. But
did I tell you what he said to me the last time I talked to him, Wombly?
What?
It was about 5 years ago now, and he said that things had changed a lot because as he was getting older, he said that the younger prisoners in there, he had to watch his back all the time because they wanted to challenge him physically.
Yep, because that's how it is, you know. That's the other thing. Here's the other thing, you know, I pointed out several times. He's been in there, what, 40, how many years? 40-something years?
46 years.
46 years and never stabbed nobody.
Never did anything.
That shows you. That shows you he's not a violent person.
Nope.
Every Indian I know, when you show up in prison within a matter of time, you're going to end up stabbing somebody. I'm serious. Because, you know, right away, they want, because the Indians, we automatically look young and beautiful to those other people, and they want to think they can get in our pants. You know, they start, you know. So Indians, I know one time in particular, in 1985, one day, 12 Lakotas in different prisons all across the country killed a black guy.
Oh.
And it wasn't a planned thing. It was just a coincidence that, you know, none of these Indians knew that all this stuff happened. It happened on the same day.
Wow.
So, anyway, the Lakota got a reputation in prison for doing that. And where I was at, my bro Iron Moccasin killed one down the hallway. And then at the same time, in Lewisburg, my bro Little Joe and his friend Stevie, they killed one in Lewisburg because that guy was trying to rape Stevie, and Stevie was scared. So Little Joe said, I'll go help you. Let's go kill him. And they did. They went in there and killed the guy. And then in El Reno, what's his name? But his family's from here. He killed a black guy there in El Reno. I remember he threw the knife into the coffee pot, so a bloody knife in the coffee pot, you know. People was drinking bloody coffee, you know. And then Young Buffalo killed one in Lompoc. In Leavenworth, they killed, who was that they killed? They killed a black guy in Leavenworth. That day, 12 Indians, Lakotas, all happened to, Red Bear, that was Red Bear. He killed that one in El Reno. Really young Indian guy, too. That Young Buffalo, really young Indian. You know, long hair. Young, you know, humble-looking guys. Little Joe and Stevie, you know, they were... Steve was from another tribe, but Little Joe was Lakota. And really young Indians, you know. And people think they can, because you're young and looking good, they actually think they can get up in your path. You know, but thank God for me, I had already did all my bad, evil stuff before I showed up in federal joint. So they already had the word on me and kept away from me. You know, they already had the word, don't go near that guy. He's nuts. He's playing with a full deck there. They all had the word out on me, you know. So, you know, and sure, of course. I remember one of my Mexican bros, he has played bass. We had a band there, and they were trying to bully him in there. And he didn't want to be violent. But I told him, you know, if you don't do something, it's going to get bad. They might kill you. So me and them had this big old plan. We were going to do something, but fortunately, maybe the spirits helped, because the guy who was going to do something to him got busted for something else and shipped out right on the right time. So we went, whew, you know. But you see, that's how life is in prison. And Leonard Peltier never assaulted nobody, but he got assaulted, you know, because Leonard's one of these guys. His reputation precedes him before he went in there, right? So people, oh, he's a cop killer and all this. So he got some special safety from that. But after a while, when people learn the real kind of person you are, you rub people the wrong way. And next thing, people say, man, this guy ain't no killer. He ain't bad. You know, listen, you know, next thing they beat him up. You know, that's how it is. You know, don't play bad if you're not bad, you know. But Leonard went through his issues. My point is, he's not a violent guy. So if he's a violent guy, why is he locked up for one of the biggest violent crimes, killing FBI agents, when even the prosecutor who prosecuted him is now saying he's innocent, you know? So what I'm saying is, why is our people supporting a government that's got one of our people locked up? Not just one. I know thousands, or I shouldn't say thousands. I knew several Indians when I was in that were in for stuff they didn't do. I remember one that was locked up for sending Ronald Reagan a threat letter. It wasn't even a threat letter. But they gave 50 years for threatening Ronald Reagan. You know, this guy was the most innocent Indian you ever know. Long hair, you know, pretty a good-looking guy. And he was living life, had a wife and family. And he got frustrated at America like people are doing. So he wrote Ronald Reagan a letter. And he uses hypotheticals. If you don't do this, this is going to happen. You need to fix this or that's going to happen. You know, he wasn't threatening nobody. He was like saying, if you don't do this, somebody's going to kill this or shoot that. Or, you know, he just was using hypotheticals. And one day the FBI knocked on his door and his wife invited him in. They sat there. She gave him cookies and coffee and they explained what they were there for. And they showed him the letter. Did you write this letter? And he read it and he said, yeah, I wrote it. They said, oh, no problem. We just wondered if you actually wrote this letter. He said, yeah, I wrote it. And he explained to them why he wrote it. They said, no, that's all right. We understand. And they got up and left after they ate the cookies and drank the coffee, you know, was nice to his wife and kids. Then a couple months later, about 5 o'clock in the morning, they come busting into his house through windows and everything, slamming him on the floor, scaring the hell out of the kids. And, you know how they do.
Aaron.
And they hauled his ass off to prison. And they gave him 50 years. That's just one guy. You know, they had Indians like Iron Moccasin was in there for stealing his uncle's car. For you steal a car of the rest, it's a federal crime. It don't matter if it's your uncle or what. And on the rest, a federal crime, there's no joyriding and all that. It's just stealing a car. Stealing from an Indian, that's called crime against the Indian, one of the 14 major crimes act or something. They gave him 15 years. Well, anyway, Iron Moccasin stretched that out to 20-something years, you know? And he was one of the guys who killed a black guy there in Terre Haute when I was there. You see, our people go through hell, and Leonard's been through hell.
Yep.
Leonard's been through hell, but he never killed nobody in there. That tells what kind of person he is. In other words, there's no way a guy like Leonard could shoot some FBI agent. And he didn't anyway. Everybody knows the real story. You know, about the guys who did it, admitted it, and they got found innocent by self-defense.
Yep.
So Leonard, everybody knows he's innocent. But
yep.
He's still there because he's an Indian, and those FBI agents and the Americans don't want to let it go. Hate,
nope.
hate. The one FBI agent got nerve to say he's part Indian, one of the head FBI agents. If you look on that video we made about Obama, You're Our Last Hope, if you look on that on YouTube, look at the comments, that one FBI agent is commenting on there. He's getting on everybody's case, Corrine's, and everybody's telling him, this guy's a killer. You guys are defending him. I was there. He said, and he said something. He said, the last time I seen Joel Stuntz, he was looking at me laughing. He said, he was looking at Joel Stuntz through binoculars, and Joel Stuntz was laughing. So he practically admitted he's the one who killed Joe Stutz.
Oh, Lord.
Because when you laugh at a Washichu to their face, they'll kill you. They killed my nephew in Phoenix. He drove on to the res line, got into the res and got out, opened his arms and laughed at him because they couldn't come on the res. Well, he should have went further down the road, but he was still within gun range. They opened up on him. They shot him, I don't know how many times. My sister said he had bullet holes in the bottom of his feet where he was on his back and they were still shooting him, you know, for laughing in their face. And for what? Because he did like him and his cousin. They got drunk with their uncle. And while their uncle was passed out, they took his car and went into Phoenix to get more booze. I was driving around Phoenix, kind of partying around, and the cops seen him. So the cops, by that time, his uncle woke up and called his sister, where's the car at? She said, I don't know. Somebody must have stole it. So he reported his car stolen. So here are these two young Indian kids, 19 years old, 117. They go hauling ass. The cops chase them, and as soon as they get in the res, they stop to laugh at the cop. Boy, lucky that 17-year-old didn't get hit. He's ducked out of the way some kind of way. But, you know, they murdered my nephew. And that's why I know if you laugh at them to their face, they're going to kill you. You know? And Joe Stutz, that FBI, says that. You look at the comments on that video. He says, the last time I seen Joe Stutz, he was staring at me laughing right there at the scene. You know? In other words, to me, he admitted he's the one who killed Joe Stutz.
Yep.
You know? So there's a lot of stuff people don't know. You know, and there's a lot of haters on Leonard Peltier. One even came on this radio show, a couple of them actually, you know,
really?
Saying he's guilty. He did it. Why defend him? Just because you don't like Leonard, so what? You know, so what? They forget. Don't defend the American. The American has nuclear weapons. They're the superpower of the earth. What the hell do they need your little support for?
Yeah.
What the hell they need your little ass on their side for? What do they need you for? To be their friend? What do they need you for? Why can't you just be a native? You know? Help your people. Yeah, if you work, it's all right to work. It's all right to go to school. But why join in with them? That's all I'm saying.
Well,
you know what I mean?
About
why?
About 3 days ago, I was thinking about anime only.
Uh-huh. You see, an anime's another one. She got murdered.
Yeah.
Well, why blame the American Indian movement over that? She
yep.
got murdered. To me, she got murdered by some perv. Nobody
really?
Actually knows who did it. You know? The guys they convicted because once a drunk and was bragging about it, you know? Sometimes people brag about stuff they didn't do. Charles Manson did that just for to sound like they're tough, you know?
Mm.
I did that, you know? Then the word gets out, you know, because you bragged about it because you want some kind of people to think you're a tough guy. And the guy who did this was just a drunk. a drunk Indian, you know. He was no big important person in the American Indian movement, you know, because he ran around with a couple other people and all this. And then they told that big lie about how they transported her up to Rapid City. Man, you know, Anna May was a warrior woman. You think she's going to let somebody transport her that far, cuffed up, shackled up, without trying to get the hell away? You know, a lot of stuff don't make sense.
Yep.
But the biggest important thing is, don't blame the American Indian movement. Because the American Indian movement, it's just like blaming a Russian for what's going on over there. You know, don't blame us for something else. Because if they killed Anna May, it wasn't in the name of the American Indian movement. I tell you that much. Because the American Indian movement supported Anna May. They loved her and they honored her.
Yep.
A lot of these women in AIM, they went and made Anna May cakes. They tried to honor her on her birthday. And their daughter, hey, you guys don't do nothing for her. You're killers, you know. That's sick.
That's sick.
You know, Anna May was a warrior woman. Don't deprive her of the honor she deserves just because you hate who you think did it and blame AIM for all of that. You know, because I've seen it. American Indian movement always try to honor her, but her daughter is a real sickie. She believes every word the FBI says.
That's gross.
You know, and including saying Leonard put a gun in her mouth.
Stupid.
You know, when you think about when she died, it was months after Leonard got busted for went on the run for the FBI agents.
Yep.
You know, he was already up in Canada, already gone away. I'm sure he wasn't over there trying to be a bully to people. He was probably trying to suck ass at everybody, trying, you know, so no one rats on him just to get him out of Dodge. You know, a lot of things don't add up. But anyway, my point is Leonard Peltier is still sitting in there, 77 years old, you know, 77 years old. And I doubt if he's going to get out.
Not fair.
Does anybody here think he's getting out? You think he's getting out, Philip?
What?
I mean, he's 78 years old. He's knocking on heaven's door. He's not in the best health.
Well, here's the hypocrisy around that whole thing, too. Just last week, they released, I think he was a former member of the Black Panthers. But they released him with the excuse that, you know, he poses no threat to the community. He's old, an elder, elderly, and he should be close to his family. These are all the same things that we're asking for Leonard.
Yep.
But because he's
a
Indian,
cop killer, you talking about a cop killer?
Yeah.
They just rolled a cop killer? Yeah, I read about that.
So, I mean, it's just... It's disgusting. But if he was black, they'd let him out. That's, you know, that's how I see it. If he was anybody other than a native, they'd let him out already.
Wow. You know, it's really messed up, you know. It's just something, you know, that so my point is I doubt if he's getting out. And Biden sure ain't going to cut him loose because he could have did it already. Only when Leonard's in a coffin, he'll say, release him. He's dead, you know.
Yeah.
Obama didn't do it. You know? And Leonard is laying in there, you know, 9 times out of 10, he lost hope of getting out. He adapted to his life because that's what the human mind does. You can adapt to anything. You can adapt to solitary confinement. You can adapt to anything, you know. And it's really sad, you know, that this guy's laying in there, sitting mm-hmm. in there, not a threat to nobody no more, you know. And just, he's in there because he's an Indian. That's all there is to it. It ain't because of FBI or nothing. He's an Indian. That's their way of taking it out on an Indian, you know. In their brain, in the FBI and the police's brain, he's the last Geronimo, the last crazy horse, and they want him locked up, you know. He's the last one. So they want to keep him locked up because they couldn't do that to crazy horse or Geronimo or people, you know. And Leonard ain't no Geronimo, and he ain't no crazy horse. He's just Leonard. He just was down on the res with the American Indian Movement.
Help people, protecting
you know,
people.
You know, that's all he is down there. And that day, they had to protect the elders and the kids that were there. These FBI agents went in there shooting. They were the first one.
Yep, jumping Bull Ranch.
Anyway, long story short, you know, that's a bad deal, you know. You know, and a lot of things, that's what I was talking about, you know, racism. Rapid City still has racism, you know. And Americans, like I was talking about, they're out there trying to seek the right church to go to for their family, you know. Mm. They go to churches for social, you know, to have a place to go eat, join people, you know. And they go one place, it's not good. Oh, the other thing is, because this woman, I guess her husband is black, so they have half black kids. So they're kind of being treated like discriminated in some of these church groups. So that's why they're going around. Right now, she said she's trying out the Orthodox, you know. And, you know, what kind of religion, that ain't no, you know, that ain't a way to live. Might as well join a bowling club or, you know, something else, you know. I don't know why go with a bunch of phonies and then say a prayer and call that your church group, you know. Anyway, you know, if you guys got anything to say, we got a few minutes left. Anything, Philip?
No, just, you know, it's a really good show tonight. I hope that you guys have a great weekend, what's left of it. And, yeah, can't wait till next week's show.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, how, you know, I mean, you know, like I said, some of the things, you know, I don't understand about American society is all the violence out there. You know, like this 18-year-old kid that went over there and just murdered people inside of, black people inside of a market. why? Yeah, they want gun rights and all that. You know, why? I don't understand that, you know? Why give a bunch of idiots guns and stuff? You know, if Americans ain't mature enough to have guns, why they have them? Other countries, they don't like people having guns, so they don't allow it. And they have less violence, gun violence, you know? Every once in a while, someone gets a gun and gets drunk, shoots it up, you know. But majority people are safe in other countries. Nothing like over here. But, you know, look at, you go to France and those other countries where terrorists murder their people. You have that kind of violence. Well, why are terrorists murdering people? Because you're over here supporting American. You know? Why over there be racist against people when they live so close they can just ride a bike to your country? You know? The France and Germany and all them European countries, they're really ignorant people. And while they're there, all the people they hate are moving in on them slowly but surely. France ain't a white nation no more.
Really?
You go to France, they're people of color. You know, all of Europe is turning like that. Very few white countries left.
Mm.
You know, Russia's one of the last of the real white countries, but even them, they have Caucasians and people of color that go to Moscow and all that, but they have their own countries, you know. France and Germany and Britain, you know, you go over there, there's blacks, Arabs, Asians, everything over there, you know. They lost their whiteness. So why still act white if you lost your whiteness? They might as well change their way and start learning to get along in the world and quit supporting the American. Because the Americans way over here across the ocean, so they can provoke anything they want. But you're over there where all everybody hates you. And you're just a little peon. So why support a country that ain't going to back you up if something really comes down? When terrorists went and killed up people in France, where was America? Big deal. They sent somebody over to say, oh, the American people are with you, you know. Big deal. Germany. Germany's going through hell right now, you know, because I know a lot of people living over there. They communicate with me, you know, from back in the music days. And that's bad over there. Germany, all them European countries, you know, Belgium, Netherlands. Look at, you go to Holland, Amsterdam. People of color. You look at London.
Airport and the Amsterdam, and half the women had on burqas.
Yep, that's how it is. You know, why are they still trying to act white when they ain't white no more? You know, this country's going to get like that. All the Lindsey Grahams, Mitch McCulloughs, and all of them whites, Bidens, and all of them whites. Biden's trying to be nice to blacks, so he's putting blacks everywhere in his cabinet so he don't get ass kicking later on, you know? You know, they're even going to have a black press secretary here real quick.
Yeah, that's gay. Yep.
But, you know, the country's going to, 100 years from now, if America still exists as the U.S., if it still exists like that, if they don't get bombed and nuked out in the long run, it's not going to be. It's going to be whites hiding, you know. It's going to be whites washing the dishes and working in the fields. You know what I mean?
Karma will get you every time.
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, I ain't wishing nothing on nobody, but I'm just telling you. And they're already losing their lands. Why? Because corporations are buying up all these lands, big
really?
Lands. And some of these corporations are owned by Greeks, Arabs, Asians. We lost two towns around the res, Scenic and Sweat. Filipino Christians bought them towns.
Wow.
You know, and they're Indian, supposed to be Indian towns. But Indians, you know, they didn't buy this stuff. Well, Indians are poor, but the government could have bought them. The tribe could have bought these towns. But they don't want it. They want the rest to get rid of. The government puts all these leaders in there, these half-breeds and stuff, veterans and all that, that are going to cause us to lose our reservation. They're going to do that. So one good thing about me being as old as I am and Leonard being as old as he is, don't have to put up with a lot of it too much longer. But we're going to have to head out and wish all our listeners around the world, across the country, whoever's tuned in, even those of you that I upset tonight, hope you have a good evening, you know, and, you know, don't take it to heart. You know what I mean? Anyway, we're going to head out. And with that, Dok Shake.
Train going in from Fargo, carrying my mother back to me. She died last week outside of Fargo, a victim of her country's apathy. No, no more fighting for me, mother. Never-ending rain, I'll bring you home again. Oh, mama, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free. Yeah, hey, 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 hey. Ooh, 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 ooh. Never-ending rain, I'll bring you home again. Oh, mama, 35 more miles and you'll be free. though they never let me know you. Still, you mean so much to me. Now, I wish that I could show you all the love you're never gonna see. No, no more fighting for me, mother. No more suffering to be done. Never-ending rain, I'll bring you home again. Oh, mama, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free.